The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
All right, get ready to put on your ultimate shocked face. The one that you're like, what? That one. Get ready. We finally know who funded the Fusion GPS and the infamous Trump dossier. Now, this is the dossier that, like, Donald Trump was having sex with horses in Moscow. Remember that one? Okay. What used to be thought of as just an unknown group of Hillary Clinton supporters has now been confirmed as the actual Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC. Go, do the face. What? I can't believe it. Now, I'm going to give you a second to recover. Okay. I'm sure no one in America actually suspected that the Democratic leadership and Hillary Clinton was behind the goats and the chickens in Vladimir Putin's bed with Donald Trump and a model. What? That couldn't have come from Hillary Clinton. The truth is that those involved in the funding of this thing have been lying about it now for over a year. This, by the way, according to the New York Times. We still wouldn't know today if it weren't for a federal subpoena for Fusion GPS bank records. The law firm retained by the Clinton campaign and the DNC released Fusion from their client confidentiality obligation yesterday. So now we know. And the timeline is beginning to be clear. This sounds like the ultimate chalkboard, and yes, we will be covering it tonight on TV. A Republican client, whose identity is still unknown, hired Fusion GPS to dig up information on Trump during the primaries. Apparently, there was nothing worth using, so the contract ended. Around April 2016, the law firm representing the Clinton campaign and the DNC decided to pick up the payments to Fusion so they could keep on digging. There's got to be a horse in his bed. It was then that Christopher Steele, the former British MI6 agent, was hired and began compiling the Trump dossier. The dossier then began to circle around Washington. Now, who would have taken that dossier and started circulating that around the press and other people in Washington? Certainly not Hillary Clinton. Steele's dossier eventually made its way to the FBI, and then it was reported that the information within helped kick off the Trump-Russia investigation. So did the FBI use that to obtain the FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign? This is one of the many new questions that have new meaning now that we know who was giving the orders and who, Hillary Clinton, were cutting the checks. But wait, there's more. Fusion GPS was also hired by another law firm. This other law firm was hired in 2013, and it was representing Natalia Veselitskaya, her. I don't know if you remember her because I can't pronounce her name, but she was the Russian lawyer that met with Don Jr. in the Trump Tower. So, wait a minute. They hired another law firm? And that was the law firm representing her? She was helping the Russians get the Magnitsky Act overturned? So let me see if I have this straight. Fusion GPS has been employed directly and indirectly by the Russians, the Clinton campaign, and the Democratic National Committee. It was almost given money by the FBI, the latter of which may have based some of their Russia collusion investigation off of the information given to them by a firm that was employed not too long ago by agents of the Kremlin. So how's that Russian collusion thing looking now? Are we even looking at the right people? More on this tonight on the Glenn Beck Television Show on the Blaze TV.
Wednesday, October 25th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Wow. Thoughts, Mr. Bregeer?
I think Hillary's innocent, and you're just a
hater.
This
is a smear campaign.
You don't like women. We know
right,
that.
Right.
You're a terrible person. You judge
people. I want children to starve.
You judge people based on their genitals.
What about Puerto Rico? Right?
Or whatever,
yes.
Right? That's an incredible... I mean,
incredible.
We are on the verge of finding out the mysterious question as to whether the left actually cares about Russian collusion when it comes to our election process. Because they've told us the whole time it's not about Trump.
No, it's about Russia.
It's about Russia. And look, that is an absolutely legitimate point.
That's the way it should
real.
Be. Let's see if CNN's apples remain apples or if they suddenly become bananas.
Yeah. Exactly, because this is what there is. We've made the point the entire time. The Russia thing is actually real. It's not a Donald Trump issue. It's not a
Clinton issue.
The bigger story here is Russia trying to influence these elections.
Correct.
And I mean, these are borderline acts of war, some of them.
Yes.
So it will be interesting to see now as we go into this collusion and you know, they were so interested in this one woman, this meeting, right? In Trump Tower, it's all wrapped into the same story now. It's tied to Clinton. Are they going to care at all? Will the apple remain an apple?
So this story is why I said she'll be impeached. If she's the president, she'll be impeached because of stuff like this. She was so dirty and provable. Now, if you remember right, I was also telling you they hate Hillary Clinton. They hate her. They don't hate Tim Kaine. They hate Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, like they wanted Clinton over Trump.
Yes.
But they are not fans of Clinton.
They're not fans of Clinton. And there's a good chance that they do go after her for this. I hope they do. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. But I hope they do. This is remarkable. And did you notice that the New York Times was pissed? New York Times has been saying they've been lying to us for months.
Yeah.
I'd like to expand that. They've been lying to you since like 1991.
They don't know how to do other things.
that's what they do.
One trick pony.
Yeah. If their mouth is moving, they're lying mm-hmm. to you. Now, there's another stunning piece of news that is on the Blaze. I have not seen this everywhere, but maybe it's just me. 5 years after the Newtown massacre, according to the Blaze, stunning warning signs have been revealed in a new FBI report. Have you heard this, Stu?
I had not heard it.
Listen to this.
Until the Blaze.
It has been nearly 5 years since the horrific Newtown massacre, and now new documents released by the FBI show that there were stunning warning signs about the shooter, Adam Lanza. You might ask, what were the warning signs?
That is what I was asking. That's interesting.
Right. You know, like he was depressed. Is that really a warning sign?
I mean, it's obviously a contributing factor.
He was not taking his medication.
What are you going to do, go arrest every person who's depressed in this
his
country?
His mom's got guns. Okay, well,
she's got a Second Amendment right to them. Are we going to go arrest people who have guns in their houses?
Okay. So here's the warning sign that now the FBI has decided to release. A neighbor told police that Lanza had threatened to kill his mom and students before he went on a killing spree. The woman said that she overheard the 20-year-old say, quote, I'm planning on killing my mom and children at Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut, end quote.
What?
Yeah, but that's it. They didn't have any specific information to go on. I'm, quote, planning on killing my mom and children at Sandy Hook in Newtown, Connecticut, end quote. She also told police that he had an assault weapon and that she was afraid of him. According to the report, she called the Newtown police, but they told her, well, his mom owns the guns legally, so there's nothing we could do. You should try calling the state police. Another source said that Lanza's mother was concerned about him being a shut-in who hadn't left his room in 3 months. And yet a third source said that Lanza rejected the medication he was provided for his Asperger's syndrome condition, a diagnosis he also rejected.
That is incredible. So,
was that any of that important, do you think? FBI released 1,500 pages from the investigation Tuesday into the shooting that stunned the nation. Some of the information was heavily redacted. Why? Why was it heavily redacted? So, we now know that the police were tipped off and they said there was nothing they could do. Did they call the mom?
Did they go talk to the kid?
I mean, your kid goes out with a Type 2 lookalike gun, which is basically, which used to be known as a finger gun. You know, that is a Type 2 lookalike weapon now, and police will be called. Your kid has a Type 2 lookalike weapon, and they'll take him down to the station and suspend him. The police were alerted that he had an assault rifle. He was going to kill his mother and shoot children at Sandy Hook in Newtown. The Newtown police were alerted and said, I don't know. I don't know what we could possibly do. We're investigating the finger gun incident. We already got him in the cage. I don't know if we have enough room. How do you not follow that up?
I don't know. I mean, there's other, this is one of those things. I had this moment on the anniversary of this one day, and I somehow went down the wormhole of actually reading the details of this story.
Yeah.
It is literally among the worst crimes ever committed in the United States. It's so infuriating because it's somewhat similar to the Vegas thing in that there's no motive. Like, it's just this guy.
Well, this kid was
he was disturbed.
He was disturbed.
He was, but there's no, like, there was no, like, larger
yes,
motive. Yes. And then, of course, you're talking about elementary school or really young kids here.
Yes.
You know, six,
yes.
7-year-old kids.
Yes.
You know, I'm a dad of two in that general age range, and that may be part of why that's playing into my mind, but it's that infuriating. And to think that they could have at least had a chance to prevent it. It's stunning that we find that out 5 years later.
5 years later, after we have blamed the gun and everything else, 5 years later, we find out, thank you, Blaze, we find out that they knew and they did nothing. Wait until you hear how the media is pretty okay with the same kind of threat now coming from the left on a civil war. That's coming up. Do you need your home sold on time and for the most money without all sorts of excuses? When you have to sell your home, it's a hard process. I mean, it is up there with divorce and death in the family. It is a really stressful process. The reason why I started Real Estate Agents I Trust is to help you find a great real estate agent in your town, because I have moved, I don't know how many times. You never know if you can really trust. And I'm so sick of the, you know, my wife, when we were selling our house, my wife, we had to have our house absolutely spotless for like almost a year. And then when I would call the real estate agent, what's happening? Well, we're going to do another open house. No, really? Well, through this experience, I realized that it's all really about marketing and how the real estate agent markets themselves, and do they have the volume to be able to sell homes quickly and for the most money. We now have over 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. Their bond is their word. They're fans of the show. They share your sensibilities. And our agents are fully vetted and handpicked by my team for their knowledge, their skill, their track record. Thousands of families have already put this to the test. You can see the results. They are really remarkable. The houses are selling quickly and for the most amount of money. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. They have already helped families who are moving to another area, families who are taking care of their parents remotely, or just helping families get the most for their money in a home as quickly as possible. Go to RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. Looking to sell your home or buy a new home? RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
An uptick in violence and protests and fear of the far right in the U.S. Listen to how this is written. According to NBC, the uptick in violence and protest and fear of the far right in the U.S. has forced LGBTQ members in Rochester, New York, to form their safe space at gun ranges. The newly formed Trigger Warning Queer and Trans Gun Club has 18 members meeting once a month to shoot targets and clay pigeons. Now, I have absolutely no problem with this club, them learning how to shoot guns, owning guns. I have no problem.
Interestingly, if you did have a problem, it wouldn't matter because we have the Second Amendment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The group's creation was a response to an incident last winter when vandals burned two homes' rainbow flags in the area. Gun club member Jake Allen warns the LGBT community is now taking arms. I want white supremacists and neo-Nazis to know that queer people are taking steps necessary to protect themselves, according to NBC. Listen to this audio.
Once a month, members of this Rochester Gun Club meet in a field for target practice. Some had never touched a gun until this past year.
We have each other's backs. We're acknowledging our fear of a world in which conservatives are the only ones who are armed.
The Trigger Warning Queer and Trans Gun Club formed as a reaction to the recent rise of the extreme right. Two pride flags were burned in this upstate New York City right after the election of President Donald Trump. Other events, including the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville this summer, further convinced some members of the LGBT community of the need to take up arms.
Often queer people are thought of as being weak, as being defenseless, and I think in many ways this pushes back against that. And, you know, I want white supremacists and neo-Nazis to know that queer people are taking steps necessary to protect themselves.
I think this is both good and bad. I think this is really, really good on the part of the individual. You know, they start this club up. They have every right to protect themselves. They should show strength. You're not going to make me a victim. This is what the Second Amendment is all about, and I support them 100%. What's bad about this is the reporting. The reporting is you have to be okay with everyone being able to take a gun and defend themselves. This, to be consistent, they should be talking about people like me, who also have taken those same exact steps. I haven't formed a gun club, but I could. Taking those steps, training my family to be self-reliant and to make sure that nobody is going to victimize my family. This is great. This is a celebration of the Second Amendment. You'll notice this is only, they're not saying anything bad about these people owning guns. They're not calling them nuts. They're not calling them crazy. They're not calling them anti-government. They're not calling them anything that they call you if you're just a hunter and have guns. They're not saying that they love their guns more than they love children. They're saying they have a right to protect themselves and they are fearful of a country gone wild. Well, so am I. So am I. And so are other Americans. And so are women as they walk in the dark to their car and they're afraid of somebody raping them. They have a right to protect themselves. Now, if the media could just make sure that that apple is always an apple, no matter who it is that is saying, I just want to make sure that I'm not a victim. That's an apple. Don't change it into a banana because it's your side.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I want to pick up this this Rochester gun rights thing one more time. I just want to read one thing. Trigger warning members stress they are about empowerment and self-defense, not offense. Members say it also gives them a sense of community, even if it comes on a firing line in the middle of farm country. So here's the left, you know, taking up arms because somebody was burning, you know, gay pride flags, which is frightening. If you're a member of the gay community, that would be frightening if that was happening in your neighborhood. And I would want to be able to defend myself. So what did they do? They started a gun club and they started, you know, looking at how to protect themselves. I think that's fantastic. My problem with this is did you ever hear this? Did you ever see NBC write something like that about, you know, NRA members? That it's really about, it gives us a sense of community. I mean, here's what people don't understand about if you've never fired a gun or grew up with guns. If you fire a gun and you go with some friends, and studies show this, you go and you bring a liberal friend to a gun range, 9 out of 10 times, they love the experience and they're like, this is fun. Yeah, it is. It's a great deal of fun and it takes skill. And if you're with somebody who is good, you're with somebody who is trained, you know, has gone through the NRA course. It's great fun.
I think it was BuzzFeed that took a bunch of anti-gun liberals to the gun range, and
they
that
all
was
came out.
The outcome. They were all really, they just had a great time.
Yeah, they were all like, we'll come back and do that. That was fun. So if you've never had the experience, you don't know that the fun you're missing out on. Okay, so it is a fun sport. But it also has something else that if you didn't grow up around guns, you don't understand. And that is that sense of community and, more importantly, family. I associate my shotgun with my grandfather. In fact, I have my grandfather's shotgun. I look at a .22 rifle through the eyes of my grandfather. It was the first rifle he gave me, was a .22. And so when you say that guns are bad and this is evil and it's just a killing machine, my grandfather wasn't a killing machine. That does not relate to any of my memories at all. At all. You know, when I look at a gun as when there was somebody down at the end of the street that was robbing a house. My grandfather grabbed his shotgun. My uncle grabbed his shotgun, told everybody to stay in the house and grandma to call police. And they went down and they grabbed the guy and they held him until police came. It was a neighborhood watch group. They weren't crazy with guns. It was protection. I view it as protection. And because the left does not take the time to understand that we grew up in different ways, they just expect us to view them the same way that they view. And we expect them to be able to understand, no, this is our grandparents. This is my dad. This was a sense of community. It's a fun sport. And it's safety. It reminds us of safety, danger.
It's one alternative lifestyle they do not respect.
They do not respect the diversity on that. They which don't.
Is that's kind of interesting. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's true. I've said this before, but I grew up in Connecticut, And there was a very little gun culture around me. I did not grow up in that world. It really is foreign to me. My dad did not have guns. My mom did not have guns. My dad was in the military, but he didn't have a gun in the house. And, you know, that world is, I think people in the center of the country and in the West and in areas where gun culture is a lot bigger don't understand how foreign that is to like, my upbringing. And I didn't grow up in a city. I mean, I grew up in a suburb. I didn't grow up in some big city. I grew up in some Connecticut suburb there was one friend I had who had a house in Vermont, and they would go up there on the weekends, and occasionally we would go up there and he had guns. That was the first time I ever fired a gun, was there. And I remember it being like this, like it was totally out of like body experience compared to everything that I had ever grown up with. It wasn't that I vilified guns. I never had an anti-gun viewpoint, and my parents were relatively conservative when it comes to politics, for whatever politics they weren't hardcore politics people. But still, like, it wasn't something that we considered. It was not part of life.
Yeah. See, and it was mine, but even then, it's also really hard for people because, like, I grew up around guns with my grandfather, but I grew up around shotguns, you know, and he had a rifle because he would go hunting. My uncle had a rifle, but I never went hunting with them, but they would go. So I never learned the lingo. I didn't know anything about guns. And getting into the gun culture, it's intimidating because
it is.
You don't know the different caliber. You don't know the difference between a clip and a magazine.
And if you do get it wrong, you will be reminded incessantly.
Yeah, by really bad guys. Because there's most people. They don't mean it this way, but they'll make fun of you.
Right.
And they don't realize that is so intimidating to people. I mean,
you just feel like a moron.
Right. My son-in-law went out shooting, and we went to a range, and they were like, "Look, dude, have you never fired a gun before?" And he's like, "No, that's why I'm here with my dad." And I had to tell the guy, go away. And it was really intimidating. It almost turned him off from guns because people just expect you to know if they grew up in that culture. Oh, you're from New York. Well, yeah, he is. And he's here now and he wants to learn.
Right. Yeah, this should be a positive.
This should be a very big positive. And I think most shooters are like that, that they're a positive, but they don't know sometimes that how intimidating it is. And so you have all these things that stop you from getting into the gun culture. And we need to take those barriers down. They need to understand us, and we need to understand them. They are legitimately, and as you should be, I want my kids to have a healthy respect for a gun. As I've told them, this is used for one purpose, really. You're training for one purpose, and that is to stop a bad guy or to eat. That's it.
Or both, depending on your palate.
Right. Well, you know. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's disturbing, but yes. And people, you have to have that healthy respect of this will kill you. This will kill you.
And you get scared. I mean, I completely defend the Second Amendment, and we've done so much coverage on that. You know, books have been written by you, and we've been in that world for so long. But again, it's a different thing. It's like you with sports. You know, which we'll talk about sports at times, and your eyes will glaze over, but B, there's a level of you being uncomfortable talking about it because it's not your life, it's not your culture, you didn't grow up caring about it, you know, and so when we get into those conversations about sports, there's a sort of an unease.
Yeah,
and
it's not a comfortable conversation I'm ever in because it marks you as an outsider. Whoever you're with, if a bunch of guys are talking about sports, you don't follow sports, you're an outsider. And the nice thing about guns and sports and everything, it brings you together in a community. Well, if you're outside of that community, it's scary to get into it. And we just have to know that and know that they have a healthy fear because they've never been around it.
And you'll never see a story on the news negative about sports or any other kind of community. Here is a constitutionally guaranteed right, And it's so rare to see a positive story like the one we played about the LGBT community that came together and formed a gun club. And you know what? Like, I'm while there's a hypocrisy element there, I'm willing to be just excited about it. I'm glad they're treating this as a positive, because you know what? It is their right. There was a Sarah Silverman, the comedian,
yeah,
did this thing a while ago when there was a gun issue. And she was like, oh, yeah, conservatives. Oh, yeah. Well, let me give you this point. You have a right to get guns, right? Well, we're going to give all black people guns. Oh, what do you think about that? That sounds wonderful.
I'm good.
In fact, it's their constitutionally guaranteed right.
In fact,
I can't stop it if I wanted to.
In fact, it was the racist Democrats of the 18 and 1900s that took them away. It was the racists in Memphis that made sure that Martin Luther King couldn't carry a gun. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. There was a program that they were doing for a while where they were giving, I don't remember what organization was giving firearms to people. Generally, I think it was black women in dangerous communities, guns, so they could defend themselves. And the liberals are like, oh, I bet you're not for that one. Yes, we are 100%. In fact, there might not be anybody in America then in a dangerous community like that. A woman, a single mom, to have a gun, I can't think of a better use for it.
Yeah. In fact, I wouldn't mind giving a single mom in the inner city a heavy duty weapon. So when the bad guys come to try to recruit their kids, mom can walk out in the front door with a a shotgun, maybe an automatic shotgun, and just say, I think you're leaving my children alone now. I think you're not coming back here. I'm all for it. Quickly, let me go to Patrick in Pennsylvania. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Glenn. Gentlemen, it's a privilege to speak with you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I'll get right to the point. This with the LGBT and pitting groups against groups, it's everybody's right to bear arms. It's the citizen's right.
Yes.
I honestly think they need to read the Second Amendment. And because if either the reporter got it wrong or he is reporting exactly what they're saying. And what they're saying is that they're protecting themselves against a specific group. So I really believe they need to read the Second Amendment, because it's not about specifics. It's about protecting yourself. And I'll let you go at that.
Okay. Well, Patrick, I agree with you. It's not about a specific group. I don't want to... arm because we're against this group or that group. It is about, honestly, the Second Amendment was more about an armed citizenry going against the government than anything else. But that's generally, if you're afraid, that's generally why you buy a gun, is because there's a guy who is stalking you, or there's a group that you're afraid of. That's not a bad reason to get in. I didn't buy a gun. I didn't want a gun until we had Muslim extremists threaten our life. And it took us about a year to maybe 2 years before we realized we have to have a gun. We got a dog, we got everything else. And then we decided we've got to own guns.
Yeah, it's a motivating factor. Yeah.
Now, that's not why I have them now. It's much deeper than that. And my fear has gone away because I know how to handle myself with a gun.
Yeah, I mean, let's say one of these people in this gun group arm themselves because they're afraid of alt-right threats. When they get mugged by someone who's not in the alt-right, they're going to be prepared.
Yeah.
And that's a good outcome.
And if somebody from the alt-right does come to do something, they'll also be prepared. And as they become more and more confident in their gun and handling their gun and more confident in their safety, that's when their mind will open up and go, you know what? This is the right of everybody. Everybody should have this. You shouldn't just be afraid. I'm going to actually be an assistance if something happens in my community. And then they really begin to understand the Second Amendment. If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. With ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with one simple click. So you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter goes the extra mile. its smart matching technology goes to work, and it notifies the qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting. So it goes out and it searches for the people that are out on the web looking for a job that meets the criteria that you're looking for. This is why 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through their site in the first day. When we've used ZipRecruiter to hire, we've had more than one quality candidate coming in. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. It's been used by businesses of all sizes, Fortune 100 companies, all the way down to little companies like mine. Right now, you can post jobs for free on ZipRecruiter. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
We have a couple of things that are really important today. I want to focus our show for you. I want to, you know, I made you a promise a long time ago. I would never waste your time. And in some ways, I think we have. You know, we kind of got sidetracked on some other things. And the world is so full of chaos, and it's so hard to find your way through it. And my wife said something to me recently, probably about 8 months ago, and this is what kind of kicked me in the ass, was she said, I feel really stupid. We had talked about the kids and everything and, you know, gone through what was going on at school, and then it just got quiet and we were driving. And she said, okay, I have to ask you, I feel really stupid. What's happening with North Korea? And I realized she's not stupid. She just doesn't have time. And everything is the same volume, and everything is, everybody says is so important, and it's really not. And it's really kind of started me on this journey of what matters most. You know, what is important in the news? It's not all important, and not everybody's point of view is the same. Everybody has an opinion, and now everybody has a platform. So I want to find the stories that are important, and there's a couple. One is with Dennis Prager, and he's going to be joining us. It's something that's going on with YouTube and Google and Facebook and everything that you need to be aware of. We're going to get to that in hour three. And also, remember the woman who she was raped, and the judge gave custody or joint custody to the rapist? She's on with us to tell us this story next.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Regret. It is a complicated and torturous emotion. Yesterday, regret about the state of affairs in the White House is what Arizona Senator Jeff Flake said led him not to seek re-election.
It must also be said that I rise today with no small measure of regret. Regret because of the state of our disunion. Regret because of the disrepair and destructiveness of our politics. Regret because of the indecency of our discourse. Regret because of the coarseness of our leadership. Regret for the compromise of our moral authority. And by our, I mean all of our, complicity in this alarming and dangerous state of affairs. It is time for our complicity and our accommodation of the unacceptable to end.
Jeff Flake's speech wasn't a thinly veiled criticism of the president. It was an outright condemnation.
Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused and countenanced as telling it like it is, when it is actually just reckless, outrageous, and undignified. And when such behavior emanates from the top of our government, it is something else. It is dangerous to a democracy. Such behavior does not project strength, because our strength comes from our values. It instead projects a corruption of the spirit and weakness.
So there is some bravery, an element of bravery in speaking out and saying these things. But it's coming from Jeff Flake, so let's not overstate how brave it is to look at the polls and see yourself down by 30 and quit and then blame it on someone else. Still, as a elected representative, it is his responsibility to speak out like he did yesterday if he believes he must. I know I worry about the nastiness and the belittling and the division coming from our own elected officials and from myself as well. I have had my differences with Jeff Flake in the past, as you know. It wasn't the president that and the fight with the president that got him to be 30 points behind in the polls. That's not it at all. Conservatives had great hope for him. Remember, he's an establishment Republican, but he didn't come in as one. He was a Tea Party guy, and he was an incredible disappointment. Let's remember, this is the guy who refused to fight to defund Obamacare in 2013. I mean, maybe we could say, well, at least he was honest. He joined the Gang of Eight. He took a pro-amnesty position. He voted to confirm Loretta Lynch as Attorney General. He was for raising the debt ceiling without any spending cuts. He has consistently advanced gun control legislation. He passed funding for Planned Parenthood and was for the Iran nuclear deal. So let's please not laud him as a conservative knight in shining armor. He is anything but. The truth is, Flake was in a difficult position. He was facing a tough primary challenge from Kelly Ward. This is a populist candidate backed by Steve Bannon. And instead of facing a loss, he pulled a legacy move to leave as a statesman. Personally, I'm happy that Jeff Flake is out. He has been a great disappointment, a real great disappointment. But who we replace him with is really important. We don't want another John McCain or another Jeff Flake, but we also don't need a Bannon mouthpiece. We cannot afford to trade a flake for a bigger flake.
Wednesday, October 25th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There is a story out of Detroit that absolutely breaks my heart. And anybody with a heart has heard this story, and it has torn you up, and you cannot believe it's happening. We have told you the story about Tiffany, whose last name is kept confidential for her own safety and security. But here's a woman that was raped, and she decided to do the brave thing and keep the child. And she has raised the child herself. When times got tough, she went to the government and asked for help. That's what it's for. Not people just living off it and sponging off it, but somebody who was really trying to do it themselves and then went and couldn't make it. And so the government goes to help. Well, I'm from the government. I'm here to help. You know that that's not help. What do? They ask her for the name of the father of the child. Well, the father of the child had been in prison as a rapist. And the judge orders that this is going to be your new co-parent. He now has full rights to the child. It's outrageous. We're going to tell you the end of the story, hopefully that will come tomorrow. But Tiffany has been gracious enough to join us, and I think you need to hear the story from the beginning. Hello, Tiffany. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Very good. This audience has great respect for you, and thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Tiffany, can you, if you don't mind, can you take us back to when you're 12 so people understand how bad this was?
Okay. When I was 12, me and my sister, my best friend, decided that we would sneak out of the house like most pre-teenagers do. We were going uptown to meet another one of our girlfriends, and that's when Christopher had pulled up. Now, we were friends with his niece, so we didn't second-guess getting into the vehicle with him. You know, we knew him. We didn't think anything. So then he decided, we got in the vehicle, we went all the way down to Detroit, and then on our way back, he had stole gas from a gas station, and then he threw our phones out of the vehicle and took us to a house near his dad's house. And that's where we were kept for 2 days. My sister ended up getting released, and that's how the cops ended up finding us.
How did he hold you in this place for 3 days?
Well, we didn't know where we were. We didn't know anything. There was no houses around us. There was nowhere to go. So when he took my sister back to town to drop her off, me and my friend decided that we would stay there, thinking that my sister would be able to lead the cops back to where we were. Well, she was able to, but it took quite some time. It was like 2 or 3 hours later they had finally showed up.
And were all of you raped by him?
No, just me.
So you decide to keep the baby, which had to be a tough decision.
Yes, it was. I mean, I knew I wouldn't have an abortion no matter what, but it was just, am I keeping my son or am I giving him up for adoption? Those were the only two choices.
And when did you decide to keep your son?
About 3 days after I found out I was pregnant.
Good for you. So, were your parents supportive? Everybody was supportive?
Yeah, for the most part, most of my, like my mom, my dad, my grandma, they were all pretty supportive. My aunts and uncles were not very happy. They wanted me to have an abortion.
And you wouldn't have an abortion because?
Because that's not what I believe in. My child was innocent.
So you raise your child, and you're still going to school, or do you drop out of school?
I dropped out of school.
Okay. And how do you make ends meet at 12? You're living with your mom and dad?
Yeah, I was living with my mom and dad. When I turned 14, I went out and I was washing dishes at a bar and grill in town. And then I was working at McDonald's and factory work and, you know, anything really just to get by.
And when did you reach out for government assistance?
I've actually been on government assistance since I was 18 years old. I don't know why it took them 3 years to decide that they wanted to know who the father was or really what their reasoning is.
And so when they asked you who the father was, what was your response?
I told them, because they told me that if I didn't comply with the survey online, that they would take my government assistance away.
And did you tell them that this was a rape?
There was no way to tell them because it's all on the computer. Like, there's no box to check or anything. So I put in all the information, and then when it got sent to the prosecutor's office, when I went up there to sign all the paperwork, the first thing I told them that this was a rape case. And they said, well, this is still standard procedure. We still have to do this.
And so they contacted him, the rapist. He had gone to prison?
He got 6 months in the county jail when he raped me. Because he got attempted CSC, criminal sexual conduct, attempted.
How did he not get
pregnant?
How did he not? How was it attempted, and how did he not get kidnapping as well?
Exactly. That's what we don't know. The prosecuting attorney had gave him a plea deal 2 days before our trial to take the plea deal, and that would give him a year in the county jail. And then his mom had a heart attack, so they let him out early, 6 months early, to take care of her.
So when he found out that he was now getting visitation rights and he was a co-parent with you, how did you find that out?
Actually, I had gotten to contact with Rebecca Kiesling, which is my attorney, because I didn't have a court order. I was living in Florida at the time. So I had called Rebecca, a Right to Life, and they gave me Rebecca's number. When I called Rebecca, she went ahead and got a copy of the court order, and that's when we found out that he had joint legal custody and visitation rights.
Has he made contact?
Through his niece, yes.
Have you...
his niece had texted me and asked, hey, Chris wants to know if he can see his son.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so it was a little scary.
Does your son know his father's past?
No, he just learned. I married 2 years ago, so my husband is who my son thought was his dad the whole time, you know, that he just wasn't around when he was younger. But now that he's seen me on TV and everything, he understands, because I had to sit down and talk to him, like, you know, you might have to go meet your new dad. Like, we didn't know what was going to happen.
Did you tell him? Did you tell him how he was conceived?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Because that's got to be...
He's a little young still.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
And hard on him. I think he's going to... I mean, well, I know you've talked to psychiatrist, I'm sure, about this, but the battle that he is going to have raging inside of him when he finds out is I pray for
him. Yeah, he's still like, he, you know, you can tell, like, he's not been himself lately. The other day he was sitting on the floor crying for no reason, and he wouldn't tell me what was wrong or anything, but I know, like, you know, he's worried that something's going to happen or that somebody's going to take him away. Or, you know, we've had CPS in and out. We've had lawyers. We've been to court. He's seen me on TV. You know, he's 8 years old. He understands somewhat.
Tiffany, hold on just a second, because we want to tell the rest of the story of what happens tomorrow. We'll get to that. Nothing is more essential than protecting your home. But traditional home security can be a punishing and expensive task. There is a better way, and you can protect your home with SimpliSafe. If you ask anybody who's been locked into a long-term security contract, you're on the hook for 3 years. You know this. You have the installation. That's going to cost you a fortune. They're going to charge you an arm and a leg for this hunk of plastic and wires that is ridiculous. They're going to charge you so much money. When you see the price of SimpliSafe, you're going to realize how had we have all been. SimpliSafe is a totally wireless security system, so they're not drilling into your walls. You own it. SimpliSafe has no long-term contracts. Your home is protected around the clock, 24/7. There's no hidden fees, and the cost is $15 per month without a contract. That's three times less than what you're going to be charged from other guys. And again, no hidden fees. I want you to go to SimpliSafeBeck.com right now. You'll get a special 10% discount if you go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. You can find the system that is right for you. You are not going to believe the price of these. And if you want the security system in your home up and running tonight, you can just go to your local Best Buy. They have them. But if you want to save the money, go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. You'll get 10% off. That's SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Tiffany from Detroit, the mother who was raped at 12 and the judge gave, you know, co-parenting custody of her 8-year-old child that she has raised. Something happens tomorrow, Tiffany. What are we expecting tomorrow?
Well, actually, they have moved the court date to the 1st now.
Oh, jeez.
Unfortunately, yeah. So now we won't know anything till the 1st.
And what are we expecting to hear from the judge?
I'm not really sure, because it's in front of a different judge this time. This is for CPS had filed a case against him getting right.
So
that'll be on the 1st.
Okay, so the last judge came out and said, okay, wait a minute, I didn't know I didn't know that this was a rape case, and so they were going to open it back up again. Are your attorneys telling you that there's a pretty good chance that his rights to the child are going to be taken away?
That's what we're hoping. The judge has stayed his order. Judge Ross has stayed his order when he said that he didn't know anything about Christopher, which he, on both rape cases, he arraigned Christopher. And if he can't do mental math, I mean, why should a 21-year-old have an 8-year-old son with a 27-year-old guy?
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You brought up something amazing, Tiffany, and we kind of went through it quickly, but it's really something to focus on. This is a terrible thing that happened to you, and you, I think all of society would say you're completely justified in terminating that pregnancy, and you, that is what society would tell you to do, and you say you didn't even consider it. Why?
It's just that, to me, my son was innocent. A baby does not, it doesn't make a baby how it was conceived, I guess is what I'm trying to say. He didn't do any wrong. My son is the light of my life. He's everything. Even till this day, I would not go back and make a different decision.
The circumstances of the conception do not determine the value of the life.
Yes.
That's incredible.
That is incredible, because so most great. People will say, I mean, except in cases of rape and incest, and for you to have been raped at 12 is remarkable, and it speaks volumes about you, as does going to wash dishes and going to work at McDonald's and trying to make ends meet and raising your son by yourself. You're a remarkable girl. Remarkable.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tiffany, for sharing. And is there anything our audience can do besides pray for you?
Nope. There is a GoFundMe page that one of my good friends set up, because the courthouse gave the rapist me and my son's address.
Oh, jeez.
Come on.
So now he knows where we live.
So you're looking to move and raise some funds?
So that way we can relocate, so that way he can't know where we live. He doesn't have our address.
Okay, so what is the GoFundMe page?
I sent an email to you guys with the link. I'm not sure right offhand.
Okay, we will
We'll find it and we'll post it. We'll post it right away and get it out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Amazing. I mean, no matter how good of a parent you are, are you ever going to be able to do something as amazing for your child as she did? I mean, that is...
Hey, we're going to get you this. Wow. We're going to get you this information. Let's rock her world. This is an audience that can just change people's lives in 10 minutes. I'm going to give that to you. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get that GoFundMe page, and then let's rock her world. Because she is a remarkable... That's a true superhero. Right there.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We're going to talk about the Fusion GPS scandal now. I'm anxious to see if CNN's will still call the Russian investigation an apple, or if they want to change it to a banana now that the beloved Hillary Clinton and the DNC are shown now to be proven liars under oath. And they have been lying to the press. The whole Trump dossier, you know, the one where he was making it, he was in bed with a model, a hooker, and a Volkswagen when he was over in Moscow. It was craziness. That whole thing funded by Hillary Clinton, her campaign, and the DNC. And then they denied it. Well, now that that's out, are we going to pursue this, or is anybody going to go to the jail? Is that going to happen? Or are we just going to now say, oh, well, look at the banana. Look at the banana. I thought that was an apple, CNN. Look at the banana. Look at the banana. We have a full chalkboard explaining this whole timeline. Tonight, 5 o'clock, the new show, you don't want to miss it. By the way, we're working on chalkboards, and the idea behind what we're doing now at 5 o'clock is I want to take the biggest story of the day and tell it to you and compact it so you can have it and share it with a friend, share it with your family. I know getting my family to sit down and do anything for an hour is almost impossible. I'm trying to make everything as compact as possible. So I know you're busy. So do the top story and then give you a chalkboard every day that's worth your time to explain the complex and make it easy if it is worth your time to show you what matters most. Beginning next week, we're starting to do a series of chalkboards. And I think the first one is on Marxism, or what is socialism? The first chalkboard is a week-long series on what is socialism. We've done one on Antifa coming up. We're doing one. I know we talked today about George Soros and showing his connections. Have you heard what's happening in Hungary?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this.
Crazy.
3 decades ago, billionaire financier George Soros paid for a young Viktor Orban to study in Britain. And as recently as 2010, Soros donated $1 million to Orban's government to help the cleanup effort following the infamous Red Sludge disaster. But the once warm relationship between the two men has deteriorated substantially over the past 7 years as Orban has drifted further to the right. In 2014, the leader of Hungary's I guess it's Fidesz party, declared he would seek to model Hungary's government after the illiberal democracies like the government of Russia from Vladimir Putin. Since then, he has elicited horrified condemnations from his peers in the European Union and NATO as his purported drift to the far right, blah, blah, blah. He has now done an all-out propaganda campaign with billboards all across the country. The taxpayer-funded billboard campaign has Soros's face on it, has been criticized as anti-Semitic, and Soros's image is splashed across the billboards where he stands accused, quote, of being a puppet master. I don't know if we get royalties or if I want to accept the royalties from that.
Probably
but,
not.
No, I probably don't, but we're going to take that on as well. Do we have the GoFundMe page?
We do. And we have just tweeted it from at Glenn Beck or at World of Stew. And it talks about, I mean, she's just starting out. She's $275 raised. So I think we can at least maybe even double that.
We could probably double that.
We could double that.
Here's the thing. This is the girl in Detroit that was raped when she was 12. I mean, you want to talk about a great voice for life. Mm. She decided that the way the baby was conceived is not who the baby is. And she decided to keep her son 3 days after she found she was pregnant. She's raised that child. She's worked at McDonald's. She's worked washing dishes. She's doing everything she can. She's gotten married. And now because of the government, the government wanted to know, who are they going after for a deadbeat dad? Why isn't he paying his fair share? Disregard the fact that he was in jail for rape. And they gave him co-visitation rights or co-parenting rights. An outrage. They're still trying to get this reversed. Hopefully it will happen on the 1st. But they also gave her rapist her address. So she needs to move now, and they're very poor. And so if you can help out, donate so she can afford to move into a new apartment or a new place, that, you know, every penny would help there.
I mean, that was, her story is amazing. And I think the reason we initially were interested in it was just because the case from the government really was bizarre. I mean, you're giving
rights. And this
happens
a lot.
And this happens more. This is not just a one-off thing. And that was really why we were interested in it initially. And it looks like there's a chance, at least, that the judge, because of miscommunications or whatever. I mean, it was a bizarre thing.
It's being framed as it's the judge just didn't know. But as she said, he's the guy who was did the trial. He sent him to jail.
More powerful to me because, I mean, you know, a guy probably goes through a lot of horrible people. Yeah. So maybe he wouldn't remember. However, there's a 21-year-old in front of you with a 9-year-old kid.
and a 27-year-old father. Like, it's hard to not put the math together there and come up with a rape. Like, yeah. It kind of seems like maybe you should at least thought about that. But yeah. What the issue here is, hopefully this has a positive ending coming up in just a few days. So that part of it is interesting and why we initially covered the story. The fact that she, her, I don't know, I mean, steel spine to be able to stand up and say, look, she didn't even think about aborting this child. And, as if you're in this audience and you're pro-life, you're probably thinking, well, I mean, of course you wouldn't want to do that. But, I mean, that rape is not common rape in society.
Rape and incest are almost universally agreed on.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, George Bush's, stated position was pro-life except for cases of rape and incest. How many times have you heard that phrase, except for cases of rape and incest?
It is the one thing that even I make the exception on, and I feel bad about doing it. I'm like, that's not right. It's not right. But I just can't. I don't want to. I mean, it's just it's hard.
It's such a difficult issue for so many people. Even many super hardcore pro-life people make that distinction. And for her, as a personal choice, she was not making a societal statement on this issue. She was saying what she believed. And, she did it. Think of the bravery that goes into a moment like that when everyone, I'm sure, told her, look, you don't have to keep this kid. You were raped. You're 12 years old. You don't have to keep this kid. This kid is alive because she made an incredibly brave choice against, how many times you heard this? Oh, well, what kind of life are they going to live? Mom doesn't have any money. She's 12 years old. What kind of life is this kid going to live? And now that kid is 9 years old and is a good kid. And is alive and making a huge difference in her mom's life. I mean, this is a heroic story. I honestly had no idea that was really part of it. I didn't put that together until hearing her say it. That's incredible.
So if you would like to help her just be able to afford a move so the rapist doesn't know where they live, I think this is a quality thing to help out on. You can go to a GoFundMe page. How do you find it?
If you go to @GlennBeck or @WorldOfStew on Twitter, I'm sure we'll post it at GlennBeck.com as well. Anywhere you can find us, we'll make sure we get this link up today.
Okay, so just go to one of the websites and we'll make sure that that you can get there. But help her out. Help her out. I want to thank this audience for doing something else. I hold in my hands a document that is the legal purchase and transfer of a human being. And this is from August 16th, Islamic year 1437. And if you think 1437 is, accurate, well, they had slaves in 1437. You're right, except the Islamic year of 1437 is the Christian year of 2016. And this child, 20 years old at the time of this sale, was 20 years old. The time of capture, she was not 20 years old. She was sold between two brothers who kidnapped her because, if you're not Islamic, you don't have you're an infidel, which means you're inferior. And you don't really have any rights. According to the fundamentalist view of the Quran, you can own anybody. They're dogs. They're dogs. We are setting out on a new venture that I hope to be sharing with you soon to help the Middle East in a way that we have really not done before. And it is such a huge undertaking, and we were going to announce this about a month ago, and some things came up in the Middle East that before I announce it, I just want to make sure that we can do it. And so we are working feverishly to button everything up. We have a very short period of time to do something really remarkable, but we would love to have you on board. If you are somebody who has donated to the Nazarene Fund, thank you. That's how this girl is now free. We took that money and we have some operatives in the Middle East who went and rescued her. And she's free today from slavery. But there are 6,000 Christian women and children that are slaves that need to be rescued. And we sure could use your help. Now, there's a couple of ways. You can go to mercuryone.org/Nazarene Fund and donate. Just go to mercuryone.org and you'll see donate to the Nazarene Fund. But there's also a couple of other ways. We every year do a Mercury One ball, and we do this because I want to pay for the lights and everything else. And I want to give people something, and I want to tell them, hey, by the way, your money this time is going to pay for salaries and go pay for lights and an office building and telephones and everything else. And I want to give you something in exchange for that, and be very clear. So when I go on the air and I say, hey, if you want to donate to the Nazarene Fund, you know that every dollar is going to help those people. It's not going to pay for, you know, a lighting bill. And our M1 ball is happening, let's see, Saturday, November 18th, Tanya and I are going to be there along with, I believe the Norrises are going to be there. Chuck and Gina Norris are going to be there, along with some other people that have yet to be named. We also have, Aaron Watson is going to be performing. He's a great country artist. And we're giving away a GMC Canyon pickup truck. The tickets are $100 each. This is a raffle, 100% deductible. 2017 GMC Canyon pickup truck. You want a new pickup truck? You can grab these tickets for that will help, you know, help us raise money and go give support for people in the path of hurricanes and rescue Christians. You can go to mercuryone.org/M1ball. You can also buy tickets to the ball. I'd love to see you there. And please come and hang out with us for the night. That ball, again, is November 18th here in Dallas, Texas. You can find out all of the information and grab tickets to the Mercury One ball or the raffle. You can do that now at mercuryone.org/M1, the number, ball.
Am I correct in assuming an open bar, or how's that? What's the
The alcoholic would be the last one to ask that question.
I mean, I think you'd be actually very knowledgeable on the topic.
Yeah, let me rephrase that. The recovering alcoholic.
Okay, all right.
Ask an alcoholic, they will have that answer. Okay. Ask a recovering alcoholic, and they'll say, I don't know, nor do I want to know. The Equifax breach has impacted roughly 143 million consumers, and it just got bigger. They've added 2.5 million people now to that list. And Yahoo announced that their 2013 breach impacted 3 billion user accounts. I mean, your information is out. And it's exposed, it doesn't just go away. Identity thieves can buy your information on the dark web for months, even years after a breach. And they can use it to commit crimes in your name, even steal from your 401k. So now is the time for protection. Sign up for LifeLock today. They use proprietary technology that will really go out and try to help detect a wide range of identity theft. And if there is a problem, they have people stationed right here in the U.S. They're restoration specialists that are going to work to get that record fixed. Now, nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but they are the leader in this industry. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck. That's Beck for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com. Promo code Beck. Save 10% right now.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So there's a couple of stories that we want to cover for you tonight, and we're going to cover next hour as well to some degree. One is the Fusion GPS. Will Hillary Clinton ever have to pay for crimes? Ever?
She's lost two elections. I think it's mean to make her actually be responsible for any criminal activity.
I have to tell you, I think there's a chance that there's a Weinstein moment coming in her life, that people have had enough.
Glenn. She's married to Bill Clinton. She's already had her Weinstein
No,
moment.
No, I know that. But I mean, where people are just going to go, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough of these guys. And this may be it. I don't think it is, but this may be it. But we're going to take you through the whole scandal. And let's see if CNN decides to call an apple, or if suddenly this banana doesn't fit and isn't worth covering anymore. Also coming up, Dennis Prager. What's happening with Prager University is a miraculous, the difference that they're making. Here's a guy that has made a gigantic impact with PragerU. I am such a fan of his, and I have offered my services to raise money for him in any way that he needs. But now the heavy hand of censorship is coming down, and this is really important for you to hear. We do that next.
Glenn Beck.
Obviously, the big story right now is the Philadelphia Eagles have the best record in the National Football League, and until that ends, I think I'm going to be like a Grateful Dead groupie and just follow them around the country. Luckily, I have Upside.com to save me a bunch of cash on my travel. You can go anywhere you want with Upside.com, and they have great ways to do it, because if you're doing business travel in particular, they're going to save you a bunch of money, save your company a bunch of money, so you'll look like a star to your boss. Then they'll also hook you up with an Amazon gift card every single time you buy a business trip. They have an incredible 6-star treatment for customer service from customer service. They call them navigators, and they'll help you out navigate all the nonsense of business travel that you don't want to deal with. Visit Upside.com and use the code Beck. You're going to get a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com. The code is Beck for a minimum $100 gift card to Amazon.com when you book your business trip at Upside.com. Upside.com, you deserve a better business trip. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details.
Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
You can run, but you cannot hide. This was the maniacal threat that echoed through her body and sent her adrenaline into overdrive. She was running as fast as she could, but he was still trailing her in his town car. You can run, but you can't hide. These were the words that an aspiring actress heard, Stephanie Kearns. She will always remember that night that the filmmaker, James Toback, assaulted her in Central Park. He's a guy who did the movie Bugsy and The Pickup Artist and some others. She said it was like a horror movie. Unfortunately, Kearns' experience with Toback is shared by hundreds. You heard right, hundreds of women, according to a new bombshell investigative report by the LA Times. Today Show anchor Natalie Morales and veteran actress Julianne Moore have spoken up about their creepy encounters with Toback. The majority of the accounts are not verified yet, but most of the women accusing the filmmaker of misconduct follow a similar script. He approaches them on the streets in Manhattan. He offers them a part in an upcoming movie, and then he makes unwanted sexual advances on them. Now, Toback is 72. He denies that these allegations entirely. Hundreds of women. He claims that it was biologically impossible for him to engage in the behavior described by his accusers for the last two decades. Whether this is true or not, time will tell. Here's the thing. There has always been creeps, and there will always be creeps in the movie business, outside of the movie business, and they're ready to take advantage of women and leverage power over them. But Hollywood is learning a hard lesson right now in light of Harvey Weinstein. This kind of behavior cannot be enabled or dismissed. The degradation of women in the film industry is unacceptable, and Hollywood's silence for the past few decades will not be soon forgotten or forgiven.
Wednesday, October 25th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
There is a chill wind blowing across the First Amendment, and it is happening from all sides. When we have conservatives talking about limiting free speech and free press, it's disturbing. But there is something else that is going on now with the with all of the big, I would call them you know, railroad companies, the rail lines of communication, they've all been laid now. And so now these rail companies of Google, Apple, YouTube, which is Google, Facebook, they are going to start dictating exactly what's heard and what's not heard. And it's we're entering a very dangerous phase. I wanted to bring on Dennis Prager because Dennis and Prager University has just filed a lawsuit against Google and YouTube. And we have a story up on theblaze.com that lays this all out very clearly. And you need to pay attention to this because we have information from the dark web where Media Matters was hiding out their plan for the future that shows what's happening to Dennis Prager was planned and coordinated, and this is their MO moving forward, to silence any voice on YouTube or Google or Apple or Amazon that disagrees with Media Matters. Welcome to the program, Dennis Prager.
What a joy to be with you. I'm in Israel, and it's wherever I am, it's good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Dennis, I have tremendous respect for you and for what you guys are doing. You are making these five-minute videos, and it's educating a lot of people in a very entertaining way. You are approaching your billionth view, if I'm not mistaken. But YouTube has now removed or demonetized several of your videos and have blocked them because they say that it violates some sort of standard that you can't figure out.
Right. That they're inappropriate. I think that's the term. And we are putting up the lawsuit, actually, on our website so that anybody can read it. It's so devastating that it portrays an America that you and I never really thought would take place. If there was one thing, I guess I was naive. I really did believe all of my life that there's one thing that did unite Americans, because I never buy the unity issue, as you probably know. I think there's too big a division in the country. But I did believe there was one, a common belief. And that is in free speech. But I was wrong. The left in particular does not believe in free speech because it threatens their power. The more people know, the less left they will be. I bank my life on that belief. I devote my life to that belief. Prager University is devoted to it, my radio show, etc. And that's why they're very afraid of us. They have every reason to be afraid of us. We have 500 million views this year. And we change a lot of minds in a very sophisticated manner. Just for your audience knowledge, I think it's important that they understand these are five-minute videos on every subject outside of the natural sciences. We're not going to teach botany in 5 minutes. We understand that. Or mathematics or something like that. And four of our presenters are Pulitzer Prize winners. We have professors from Stanford, Yale, Harvard, UCLA, and et cetera, et cetera. We have liberals like Alan Dershowitz. It's an extremely sophisticated teaching operation. There is no yelling. There is no slamming. There is no anger. There are five-minute intellectual presentations, and that's why they change minds, because they're geared to the mind and not to the emotion.
Dershowitz's video on Israel, is that one of them that has been banned?
That's correct. That is correct, yes.
So Alan Dershowitz was in the Blaze story, was asked about it, and he said this is one of the most disturbing things that has happened to him. I mean, here's a guy on the left whose voice is being silenced by YouTube.
Right. Well, let me then venture forth a very important point that I make, I think, almost daily. There is nothing in common between leftism and liberalism. They have nothing in common.
Yes.
And liberals used to understand this. They no longer do. And so many side with the left, even though it violates everything they stand for. For example, liberalism believes in integration, the melting pot, and that race means nothing. The left believes that race is important, the first ideology since the Nazis to believe that. They have separate graduation exercises at Harvard for black graduate students. They have dorms for black students all over the country at universities. That was called segregation when I grew up. Liberals would have found that to be the antithesis of everything that a liberal stands for. And I'm trying to show, I'm trying to show that people like Dershowitz, these are liberals, not leftists. And I think he would even agree to that, because he spends more of his time now, to his great credit, attacking the left than attacking the right.
I know several
people.
This is
a Hillary Clinton voter.
Yeah, I know several people who, you know, would have voted for Hillary Clinton in days gone by, who now say that their own party has gone so far off the rails, they're more afraid of their side, the leftists, than they are of the Republicans and the people on the right.
Well, there's nothing to fear from us. We don't want power. I always make this point, you know, the conservatives basically run on the doctrine, vote for me, I want less of your money, and I want less power over you. So,
well, I think that's
only a danger to the left.
I think that's generally true, and not as true as I thought it was. You know, we are seeing people talk about, you know, how the government should regulate the free press, and I don't want the government involved in the press at all. Period.
I agree with you, but who has said that?
The president has talked about maybe it's time to regulate NBC.
Oh, really? I don't recall him saying that.
I
believe you because you're an honorable man, but it's hard to me to believe even he believes that. But anyway, obviously none of us believe it, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Dennis, tell me some of the, tell me which videos are being taken down. Let's see if there's a pattern.
Well, the list is on, I believe the list is in the indictment. I should have it in front of me, but the top of my head, I'll give you a few examples.
Yeah, okay.
This is my favorite, okay? I think there are about 40 out of the 250, but I'll give you, I'm laughing because it's actually hilarious. I only do 15% of the videos. 85% are done by other people. But I did the videos, because we do a fair number. I mean, it's, you know, about 10% of our videos are on religion, because we think a godless United States is not what the founders wanted. And in any event, so I did 11 videos on the Ten Commandments, one on each of the Ten Commandments and one introduction. Believe it or not, they actually took down my video on Thou Shalt Not Murder.
Now, why? Why do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. To be honest, to this day, I don't know. That's so, how absurd. We're talking about the realm of the absurd.
The videos that The Blaze is talking about, there are 40 that have been restricted. Many of them also been demonetized, which means you can't make any money on them. Among the restricted videos, Why America Must Leave, The Ten Commandments, Do Not Murder, Why Did America Fight the Korean War, which is unbelievable. Everybody should see that one. The World's Most Persecuted Minority, Christians, another unbelievable video. And there's no answer.
Well, by the way, that tells you something about Google's morality, that the persecution of Christians in the Middle East would be taken down, would be restricted. It shows you they're not merely totalitarian. They're bad. I mean, only a bad person would find it objectionable, and I'm a Jew saying this, calling the world's attention to the removal of Christian communities in Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah. So you are suing them. There's no damages so far that you're going for. What's your plan here?
The plan is to win and thereby bring down the greatest threat to free speech perhaps in world history, or in the history of the existence of free speech, because they control, they are the conduit to speech on earth. You can't, if you can't, there's no alternative.
So, Dennis, doesn't that make them a utility? I mean, aren't they a private?
That's correct. That's right. It does make them a utility, and the indictment makes it clear that I will use these words. It's not in the indictment. They are a fraud because they utterly misrepresent themselves. They say they are a completely open forum. That is as pure a lie as exists, and Prager University is the living proof of the lie that it is. They are not an open forum, and if we don't prevail, it's over for free speech until there will be an actually open Google. And I don't know how you rival Google at this time. It's one day it may happen, but in the meantime, it's critical to understand that this is what is happening.
Dennis, isn't it consistent, though, with conservative principles that it's their website and they get to do what they want with it?
No, that's very important. I have actually asked that. The indictment shows law after law after law in California, and it's not an indictment, by the way. That's a technical term. It's a complaint. But so just for the record. But yes. In any event, we show law, the lawyers, and by the way, that's important that you know who they are. It was actually the suggestion of former California Governor Pete Wilson, who is I'm greatly honored to know, is a great fan of Prager University. Mm. And he is the one who has one of the most prestigious law firms in the country. He is leading this, and it was his idea, actually. And they are truly helping out. I mean, it's very expensive to have lawyers, as you well know, as everybody knows in America.
Yeah, especially
and
against
they
Google.
Are doing, yes, exactly, yeah. Which has essentially unlimited funds like the government. But anyway, they list law after law. This is not a new idea. This predates Google. It predates us. Predates my existence on Earth, where the Supreme Court has established that there has to be free speech where there are claims to be free speech in the private sphere. So it's not merely government cannot suppress speech. Now, obviously, in the case, let's say, of a religion, if you have a Christian school and it teaches that, that a Catholic school teaches that abortion is a mortal sin, a teacher says, no, you know, I think that that Catholicism welcomes abortion, obviously, a religion can teach a certain thing. By the way, in that regard, it would be very interesting. I wonder, I don't have the answer to this myself. I'm posing a question to me. What if Google did announce, you know what, world, we are a left-wing organization, and we can't stand any non-left-wing idea that has any traction, and therefore we will shut it down. I wonder then...
If they could get away with it.
Would be interesting.
Yeah.
Dennis, that's what they are.
Okay. Dennis, we're going to have more on this tonight. Hope to have more on this tomorrow. We are big supporters. Thank you for everything that you're doing, and we will continue to help you get the word out on this. Anything that we can do, that the audience can do.
Right. Well, yes, of course. First of all, they for no money whatsoever, they need to watch our videos. Because they are life changing, they're meant to be. They have, if their kid is at college, their kid is being indoctrinated.
Yeah,
and we are an antidote to that indoctrination. Okay. If they have to pay their kids in high school or college to watch it or whatever, they should. And obviously, if they want to help us in any other way, that's great.
Okay, Dennis Prager, thank you very much from Prager University. This is worth your money and worth your time to help them out. Prager University. I've been working with Liberty Safe now for 7 years, and they are remarkable. They not only make great safes, but they make it now easy to own one. Now at LibertySafe.com, you can buy a Liberty Safe at a great price and receive 12 months interest-free payments with zero down and zero APR. If you go into a Cabela's, it may say Cabela's on the safe, but that's just rebranding. That's actually a Liberty Safe. These are just rock-solid safes. Now, a Liberty Safe, you can get it for as low as $20 a month, $20 a month. Nothing like owning a Liberty Safe with the peace of mind, the lifetime warranty, in-home delivery service, and it's unmatched in the industry. Have yours installed right in your home now with 12 months interest-free payments or $20 a month on approved credit. Every home has valuables. You have, especially if you have a gun. But if you have children and pictures and everything else, what should you have that you just do not want to lose, or God forbid, have it burned down or destroyed for some reason? Liberty Safe, the best built safes on the planet, bar none. LibertySafe.com. Go there now. LibertySafe.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let me give you a couple of updates. First of all, Tiffany, who we had on last hour, she's the girl who was raped at 12, decided to keep her baby, has raised her child. He's now 8 years old. And the government just gave the rapist co-parenting rights. Now the judge is backtracking. They still haven't changed the ruling, but they expect it maybe the first. It was supposed to come tomorrow, but now they've delayed it again until the first of the month. But it is really disturbing. The rapist now knows where she and her son live. She's having to move. She's 20 years old. She has no money. So we promoted a GoFundMe page. You can find it at glennbeck.com or on Twitter at Glenn Beck or at World of Stew. And an hour ago, this audience is just so incredible. An hour ago, she had $200 raised to help her move. In less than an hour, it is now $20,000, 107. I mean, this is a remarkable audience. And let me give you one of the comments on the GoFundMe page. Tiffany, I served in the military for 22 years. I've led men in combat, all of whom I consider heroes. Very seldom do I consider people other than first responders or veterans as heroes. Most of the time, anyone else usually would have been great disappointments and fall short of what I think a hero is. But you, Tiffany, have changed my mind. You're a hero, and all that hear your story will know it. As a father of a young daughter, I don't think I could ever be as graceful as you were. God bless.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Something that I hope to be able to address. I may just have to address it on Facebook Live today. I'm not sure, but I'm just getting an update now from our sources on the ground in Iraq. One of the areas the where we brought the Christians back into this portion of Iraq, it is Telescuf and El Kush. And this is where the Christians were driven out, and we brought them back in. We've actually helped rebuild a church. I'm trying to remember what it is. The church is St. George's Church. Just got word that the Christians are hiding in that rebuilt church now because the Iraqi and the Iranian military is now pushing through to clean out the Christians and the Peshmerga, the Kurds, out of that area. And so our Christians are caught in the crossfire yet again. Please pray for them. Please pray for them. Leon Wolf is our head of the news division at theblaze.com, and we're thrilled to have you in today. There's so much news going on. I want to start with the Fusion GPS. Is Hillary Clinton or anyone, will they go to jail?
Well, what a fascinating story and difficult to unwind that this Fusion GPS thing is. And it's interesting, right? Because on the one hand, isn't it kind of a standard fair thing that you as a political, you know, somebody who's running for office, do some opposition research mm-hmm. on your... Now, granted, usually you don't go out and hire former spies, but what yeah. is the
yeah
or but that's the or everybody work. Does I mean, I've worked on campaigns, you mm-hmm. always have,
you have opposition people, research
you yeah, have opposition researchers yeah. who go out and find out things about your opponents. When does that cross the line into being
Well, you went to the you went to a foreign country, an MI6 guy, and you were also working with an organization that has ties to the Kremlin. That's not good.
And it's like it's almost more intense just because of the fact that they've been complaining that Donald Trump was working with the Russians this whole time,
and they were.
And it's like, I mean, if it turns out to be how it's presented at this point, I mean, it seems incredibly hypocritical.
No, absolutely. And the question is going to be, did they know about the ties between the Fusion GPS and the Kremlin?
They're
going to say no, but I mean, how do you prove that? I don't know. It's a difficult... This whole situation is a mess.
Well, but they lied to people.
Right.
They said we had nothing to do with it, and yesterday they were forced to admit that it was the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC that paid for that.
Right.
For that dossier that came out.
Right. I just think that this whole Russia thing has gone so far. I mean, we're not going to find any sort of smoking gun that is going to prove that the election result was changed by the Russians.
No,
it's just an impossible thing to prove.
But to me, that's not the troubling part.
Absolutely. It's the possible connections with, the financial empire, with people who are, in or around his administration. And that part has just been kind of totally ignored, I think, in favor of people who are just upset about the way that the election turned
out. Right. And it's also, we should be looking at a foreign government that is trying to thwart our elections. They are buying advertisement. They are trying to divide us as people. This would have been an act of war when I was growing up. This would have been an act of war.
It's like if you're standing on the sidewalk and someone throws a rock at you and they miss. Your answer to that is not to say, well, I'll just keep standing here forever and wait. And they miss, so we don't have to worry about it. No, you move. Right. And I think here, like, if Russia...
Or you get the rock thrower.
Right, yeah. And you try to put the rock thrower, punish them in some way. It's like, yes, Russia did not turn the election. I don't think there's any reason to believe that whatsoever. But the fact that they tried to influence it is such a big deal. We better get on top of it, know the information, and try to stop them next time.
And it goes to what we were saying the whole time, which is, look, they were involved with both sides.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't care who won.
Right.
They just wanted to cause trouble. Stir it up.
But you can't get people to accept that in this particular political climate, because people are so dug in on did they change the election or did they not change the election that you can't have a reasonable discussion with people and say, listen, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're never going to prove that one way. Let's all agree that the fact that they tried is really bad. And we need to, focus on preventing that from happening again. That's a discussion that you hardly ever hear. Like, hey, let's forget, all this other stuff. We're never going to prove it one or the other. Let's just focus on making sure it doesn't happen again. I would like to hear more people saying that,
So how do we... yesterday, I did a chalkboard on this crazy conspiracy theory of Rachel Maddow. And, I mean...
It's on theblaze.com, by the way. You can watch the whole thing. It's
great.
It.
It's tinfoil hat stuff. It is really good. Yeah. It's old Fox-style chalkboard stuff. You can find it at theblaze.com. But... This conspiracy theory is so nuts. And she starts out with, why do Americans accept it? And I think it's because Alex Jones makes so much money and he's spreading it. And I'm like, no, that's not it. We're a nation of boobs. We don't do any homework ourselves. We read a headline. It mirrors what we want to believe. And so we just go down the rabbit hole. That's what's happening to us. There's no way to solve this with an uneducated people that keep themselves in the dark. I mean, some of us are now fighting for freedom of the press, because I think that's coming under on the ropes. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if there's a free press if nobody cares to do their own homework.
Yeah, our attention spans have been programmed to be about 3 seconds long. I mean, that's just the reality of the world that we live in. I mean,
sorry, I only got the first 3 seconds of that.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
What were you asking a question about, Stu?
I used to think that about, MTV. You used to watch the music videos.
Yeah.
They flash to a different thing every 3 seconds. They're programming your attention span.
But you know what? That is when I was at CNN, what'd they say, 45 seconds?
Yeah, I think
the
it was,
average
yeah.
attention span was 45 seconds, and I had to change the screen every 45 seconds. And I said, no. And they said, you won't be successful. I said, no. And they said, you can't let a story go more than 90 seconds or they're gone. Well, I ended up doing, hour long monologues with not a bunch of flashy stuff on the screen, an old chalkboard. It is not that our attention spans alone have gone down. we are now expecting entertainment in absolutely everything.
Yep.
And that's hard. That's really hard.
It's frustrating to me to hear people say things like, "Oh, you know, we're busier than we ever have been." My grandmother, who grew up in West Texas with no electricity, doing the laundry was 2 full days of work.
So
from sunup to sundown.
I was just reading. Now I get all of my facts on society from the back of chip bags, but I'm reading this bag of chips. And it talks about how the, you know, the corn chips were made originally, and it said it the cornmeal and making tortillas used to take the average woman 6 hours every day.
Yeah,
and still in some parts of Mexico, it takes 2 hours of a woman's day every day. And I got past the why is it only women? I got past all of that and thought to myself, we are not busier. Everything was a chore.
Everything is exponentially easier than it was 30 years ago, and we have more disposable time than we ever have, and we've just filled it
with crap.
With crap. I mean, that's the truth.
So tell me why the corker and flake stuff is crap, or is it? Do you think this is important?
Well, listen, I don't think that it speaks well of, you know, Corker or Flake or McCain, that if really it is the truth that they have like this personal grudge against Donald Trump and therefore they're going to vote against bills just because they don't like him. I'm not trying to say that speaks well of them, but you know what? The human element is real and it matters. And people who have won statewide elections, United States senators have big egos, right? They expect to be treated with deference. And that's a reality. If you're a results-based person, that's a reality that you have to confront. Like if you care about not just, you know, Donald Trump sticking it to the right people, but if you care about the things on his agenda, like tax reform getting passed and a wall getting built and, you know, whatever else, you know, that Donald Trump is promising that he's going to do, then yeah, it does kind of matter how he manages these, you know, petulant, entitled people who are in the United States Senate. And I don't think that it, you know, look, this is what he said on the campaign trail. I can make out the deal. I'm the only one who can fix it. And it does seem silly that he's, you know, alienating people over personal differences instead of focusing on getting it down to business. Now, I agree. It goes both ways, right? You can say the same exact thing about Corker and Flake and McCain.
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
Flake was a total waste. I mean, he came in as a Tea Party candidate and violated everything. He's not unpopular because he went after Donald Trump alone.
Right.
He's unpopular because he didn't stand for anything he said he stood for.
Well, and true. And fundamental to Trump's critique of these people in the Senate is that they're petulant and whiny and entitled.
Correct.
So he should be recognizing that and applying that knowledge to try to get these things done. And instead, he's just inflaming it.
Right. It would have been, this is something I said on Twitter yesterday, it would have been so easy, I think, for Trump to keep at least Flake and Corker in the hold. McCain is kind of his own, he's super crotchety and always has been. But, you know, those are guys that if Trump had maintained like just kind of a reasonable level of not going crazy on Twitter, would probably have stayed with him and voted with him, you know, forever.
Corker loved him. Corker was a big supporter in the campaign.
Yeah, he was one of, I thought, Trump's most eloquent defenders in the last months of the campaign. Almost became his vice president, if you believe, you know, the rumors. That's how, you know, close they were. There's no reason that a guy like Corker should have fallen off the reservation or Flake. You know, sometimes you just got to be the bigger man if you're the president. And, you know, just Trump doesn't seem to have that capacity. So, you know, that's where we are.
What's the one story that is concerning you today? What's the one thing that you're like, everybody needs to know this?
Well, you know, obviously the PragerU thing is very concerning, and that's, you know, kind of off the beaten path. It's not as significant in a lot of ways as what's happening in China or Korea or whatever the situation is, but it's, you know, in terms of things that hit close to home, you know, the power that Google and Facebook have over the information dissemination is just so much better than
staggering.
How concerned
are you? I'm going to talk about this hopefully a little bit tonight, more that later this week. But how concerned are you on Facebook now doing tests around the world where they're not taking publishers' news stories? So like BBC, we're not going to publish anything from the BBC unless the BBC pays. This is going to dramatically hurt the voices that don't have big money.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be tremendously impactful to businesses all, you know, information dissemination businesses in ways that people don't understand. And look, I want to say Facebook is a private company. They can do, if they feel like it improves their user experience, they can do whatever they want.
Yep.
I would like for that to be kind of a two-way street, though, you know, with Facebook and Google, with our liberal friends, right? Like, I'll say, look, if Google wants to discriminate against conservative voices, I guess they're a private company, they can do that. Let's turn that around and say, why don't our liberal friends agree that, you know, people who bake cakes can decide who, you know, whether they want to participate in a gay wedding or something like that? I mean, that seems to be fair to me, but it's only a one-way street, as we all know.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Leon. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Leon Wolf from theblaze.com. Anyone paying attention knows now is the time to prepare. Saying the world is a little unpredictable is an understatement. Hmm. No one has a guarantee of what tomorrow will bring. And the best thing you can do, to, you know, if you say, well, I'm going to rise to the occasion. Are you? I guarantee you, man does not rise to the level of his expectations. He rises to the level of his preparation and knowledge. Are you prepared? Ensure that feeding your family never becomes something that you're dependent on the government or FEMA or somebody else. Having food storage for emergency situations means that you'll never have to deal with not being able to eat in a crisis. And My Patriot Supply gets this, and they are the solution. This week, you can get their 102-serving survival food kit at a price of less than a dollar per serving. That's breakfast, lunch, and dinner a day for $3. Call 800-200-7163, or you can order online at preparewithglenn.com. 800-200-7163. Yeah, 800-200-7163. Or at preparewithglenn.com. Dependable emergency food storage. The seasoned experts at My Patriot Supply. Preparewithglenn.com. 800-200-7163.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Let's go to Jay in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jay. Welcome to the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, Mr. Beck. It's such an honor to talk to you. I was just calling to reinforce for Heather. She's my hero. What she did for what she went through and still save the baby is such
you mean
a
Tiffany
complete... Tiffany
yes sorry, okay
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah
she's a remarkable young lady.
Yeah, I just encourage everybody to, you know, check out her GoFundMe page, everything that she's doing. Just keep up with her. And you know, it's great right now, but you know, even in the next week or 2 weeks, keep up and
We will. Jay, I thank you for your call. We will check up with her. We're expecting some news about what the judge is going to decide. It was supposed to come in tomorrow, but they've delayed it now until the first of the month.
And how about an update from the GoFundMe page, which started when we announced it, $270 with a goal of $10,000. Now $33,173. Oh, and I, you know, that's a lot of money for anybody. But I mean, that's life changing for Tiffany.
Her. If you miss this, go to listen to it. We'll post it at glenbeck.com, or you can go to theblaze.com and listen to hour number two. It's riveting. Here's this woman. She was 12 years old when she was raped by a guy. She decided to keep the baby. And the way she spoke about, you know, abortion's not even an option was remarkable. And so she carried the baby and now is raising the baby. She's been working, you know, when she was 14, she started working at a restaurant, just, you know, washing dishes. Then she worked at McDonald's. She's done everything she could to make it on her own. She's gotten married, and a judge, went out and gave custody, joint custody to the rapist. And the rapist, the judge says, we didn't know it was a rape thing. He was 27. She was 20 while they were in your court and had an 8-year-old kid. How is that possible, Your Honor? But please check it out at glennbeck.com or theblaze.com and pray for her and also the Christians in the Middle East, please.
Glenn Beck.